Before that, Gabe and Jay, I hope your desire is that the Lord would guide you day by day. The next transforming truth that we want to cover from the Bible is found in 1 John chapter 1. So please join me there in your Bible. 1 John chapter 1, as we have endeavored on a series to discover some transforming truths found in the Word of God. Something that we are striving for in our home is injecting spiritual truth into our children at any given opportunity. On Friday afternoon, I was in my home office preparing for this message, and Brooklyn had gotten up from her afternoon nap and was sitting with Mommy, and they were coloring together. I'm not sure exactly what they were coloring or how the opportunity was there, but Stephanie looked over at Brooklyn and said, "Brooklyn, do you know what makes our hearts dirty?" And Brooklyn said, "What?" And Mommy looked at Brooklyn and said, "Sin." "Brooklyn, do you know who can clean our hearts from sin?" Baths. Taking a bath will clean my heart from sin. That's what Brooklyn thought in her little 3.5-year-old mind. While baths certainly have their usefulness, don't they? Yeah, they sure do. Cleaning the sin out of our lives is not something that a bath can do. Follow along here in 1 John as we read the entirety of the first chapter. The Apostle John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life." Can you imagine that? That which we've heard, we've seen, we've looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life. What a wonderful thought. He goes on, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." This epistle, which was penned by the Apostle John, is such an important portion of Scripture for us as believers. He presented the purpose for his writing of this book in verses 3 and 4. His purpose was, number one, so that we might have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus Christ. Secondly, so that we might have full joy. And so throughout this epistle, John presents to us the basic tenets of having fellowship and full joy. Through this book, he tells us that we can and how we can have fellowship and full joy as Christians. And though we have this truth for us in the Word of God, many Christians don't experience fellowship and full joy, at least not consistently. And that's because there is an enemy to both fellowship and full joy. And that enemy is sin. 9 times between 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 and chapter 2 and verse 6, John mentions sin. And sin is the enemy of Christian fellowship and joy. One congregant asked her pastor, "Why do you keep preaching to us Christians about sin? After all, sin in the life of a Christian is different from sin in the life of an unsaved person." "Yes," replied the pastor, "it is different. It's much worse." And how true that is. We know that Christians are not sinless beings. Sometimes that bothers people, but it's the truth. We're not sinless just because we're saved. There are times in all of our lives that we freely choose to let the enemy win, that we fall prey to sin and its deception. And when that choice is made in our lives, our fellowship and our joy suffer. However, God made a way that we can have our fellowship and joy restored. And the key to that is found in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 1. The transforming truth that attracts my attention this evening from the Word of God is the key to keeping fellowship and full joy. In this passage, I want us simply tonight to recognize what confession is, to recognize God's character, and to recognize what God does in response to confession. Would you notice, first of all, with me then, let's recognize what confession is. As we consider what confession is, I would like us to answer 3 questions about confession that will help us to grasp exactly what it is. First, who is confession for? Who is confession for? Notice what the Bible says in verse 9. If we. Now, as we follow the context of this epistle, and especially the introduction that we read from chapter number 1, we understand that John is writing these truths to and for believers. The truths that John is sharing throughout this book certainly have some application that can be made to unbelievers, but there's no question he's writing this to and for believers. Friend, confession is not the answer for the sin of unbelievers. Unbelievers do not simply need to come to God and confess sin. An unbeliever needs to place his faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, that Jesus is the only answer for all of his sin, past, present, and future. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, you've made that decision, but you still sin. Confession is the answer for sin in the believer's life. It's not for an unbeliever. We are not sinless beings. Now, we should strive not to sin. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." We should strive not to sin, but when we do sin, and confession is the answer for when we sin. So what is confession? Question number 2. It's for believers, but what is it? Notice he says in verse number 9, if we confess. Confession is the answer to a believer when he sins. And it is the key to keeping fellowship. We'll see why here in a few moments. Confession is about my personal sins. And it's a compound verb. These two words that make up the word confess mean to say, and one in the same. So essentially, literally, what confess means is to say the same thing or to agree with. If you will, the thought of confession is to say the same thing about my sin that God does. Friend, do you know that it is in man's nature to trivialize sin. It is in our nature to generalize sin. It is in our nature to call sin by other names. It's in our nature to minimize sin or redefine sin. But confession, what it is coming before God and saying, God, I agree with you about my sin. To say the same thing about it that God does, to view it as he does. To recognize the sinfulness of sin as he does. I love how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 7. He speaks there in these terms about sin, that sin might become exceeding sinful. We come before God and we say the same thing about our sin as he does. We don't trivialize it. We don't generalize it. We don't minimize it. We don't redefine it. Confession is saying the same thing about sin that God does. Who's confession for? It's for believers. What is confession? Essentially, it's just saying the same thing about my sin that God does. Thirdly, what is confession all about? Notice in verse 9 again, he says, if we confess what? Our sins. Friend, what is confession all about? Confession is about my personal sins. It's about me. I can't stand before you tonight as your pastor or preacher of the Word of God preaching a message to you on the key to keeping fellowship, confession, and tell you, you've all got to listen to me because I've got this figured out and I'm exempt. I can't say that tonight. The Bible makes clear, I cannot claim that I'm exempt from sin, and you can't either. Verse number 8 says, if any man say that he has no sin, he deceives himself, the truth's not in him. Verse 10 says, if any man say, I have not sinned, he makes God a liar, and God's word's not in him. Friend, none of us can say, I'm exempt from this. I'm in constant fellowship with God all the time, 24/7, 365. I have full joy all of the time, 24/7, 365. I'm exempt from this because I don't have sin in my life. I don't sin. None of us can say that. Confession is about our personal sins. I fail. I do. Through word, through deed, and thought on a regular basis. And my response to that failure should be confession. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, the choice of the plural word sins. In verse number 8, which he had just read, he said, if any man say, I have no sin, singular. But then verse number 9, he changes it to sins. The choice of the plural is purposeful, and it denotes two important thoughts about confession of sins. First, all sins. Every sin that we can commit, be it word, deed, or thought, is the enemy of fellowship and joy and sufficient to hinder the full experience of them in my life. Thus, every sin I commit should be confessed. Again, it is our nature to trivialize sin. Well, Lord, I'm coming to you today to confess that big lie that I told, but I fail to confess all the little white lies. God, I'm coming to you today to confess this big sin that I've committed, but I'm going to leave all these minor sins out of my confession before you. Friend, that is our nature to trivialize and minimize things, but we need to understand this today. Every sin that I can commit and every sin that you can commit, every sin that we do commit, be it a sin of word, a sin of deed, or a sin of thought, is the enemy of fellowship and joy and sufficient to hinder the full experience of these in our lives. If we are going to maintain fellowship and experience full joy in Jesus Christ, we have to confess all sins. secondly, the use of the plural denotes specific sins. Friend, I ought to make it the habit of my life to confess sins specifically. Now, I've been guilty of this, as I'm sure you have been. God, forgive me of my sins. Anyone else guilty of that in their lives ever? Now, that's not always wrong. But friend, listen to me carefully. When there are specific sins of word, of deed, or thought that we have committed, we shouldn't come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, cleanse me of my sin. I ought to come before the Lord and I ought to say, Lord, forgive me of my envy of so-and-so. Lord, forgive me for that theft that I committed. I know no one considers it theft to take that thing that my employer owns from work. Lord, forgive me of that theft. Lord, forgive me of that deception. I deceived so-and-so by telling that little white liar by stretching the truth. Lord, forgive me of my sin of deception of my spouse or of my children. Or of my parents. Lord, forgive me for my greed. Forgive me for my covetousness. Forgive me for my lustful thought. Forgive me for my thought of hatred against my brother. Lord, I just had a little spat with my spouse and I said some things that were very unkind. Lord, forgive me for my unkind and ungracious words. We ought to habitually confess sins specifically if we expect to maintain fellowship and full joy in our lives. Who is confession for? It's for me as a believer. What is confession? It is simply agreeing with God about my sin. What is it all about? It's about my sin. And I need to recognize I should confess every sin. And I should confess sin specifically. Would you notice, secondly, with me tonight here from this transforming truth, we've taken some time to recognize what confession is. But secondly, as we think about confession, I want us to recognize God's character. Look at what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Now, a person's character represents his normal behavior. Isn't that a true statement? When we talk about someone's character, we're talking about the way that they behave regularly. In relation to you and me, sometimes we talk about our character and we recognize that there are times that we can act out of character, aren't there? You might look at me as your pastor, and you might think to yourself, pastor's character, he is normally a really quiet kind of a guy. I know you think that, I really do. He's normally really soft-spoken, doesn't say much at all in any situation, he even preaches short. I know that's what you're thinking. But man, he really preached a long one today. We would say, what, that is out of character, right? There are times in all of our lives where we act that way. Our character denotes our behavior, normally speaking, but all of us have times where we act out of character. But here's the wonderful thing about God. While we may act out of character, God never does. He never acts out of character. And what a wonderful truth this is as I think about it in the context of confession. I know that God is faithful and just. The Bible proclaims that throughout. These are two attributes of God you can find discussed all through the Word of God. But in the context of confession of my sins, it is especially meaningful. Faithfulness is used here, speaks of the fact that He is true to His own nature and promises. He never acts out of character. And what He has promised, He will do. Just here is the same as righteous. You've heard me define righteousness before as God acting according to his character. He always does what is right. It represents, if you will, truth passing into action. Faithfulness here is the truth. Just or righteous is the action that carries that truth. He always acts based on who he is. Now, what does that mean in relation to confession? It informs me that the response God says he will have to my confession is always the response that he will have. Now, we're going to look more at the response in just a moment, but what is his response? He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here's why faithful and just are so meaningful in this context. As I consider what it means that God is faithful and that God is just, he is righteous, he always does what is right, he always acts in accordance with his character, God never acts out of character. So when I think about his faithfulness and the truth that he is just in relation to my confession, it reminds me, it shows me that God will always have the response that he says that he will have. In other words, friend, it doesn't matter what I confess. It doesn't matter what the sin in word, the sin in deed, or the sin in thought is. Think of the most horrendous sin in our mind that you could. Just the worst affront that I could commit to the character of a holy and righteous God. When the Bible tells me he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, here's what that's saying. No matter what the sin is, God is faithful and he is just. He is faithful. He is true to his nature and his promises. He is just. He is righteous. He always acts according to his character. No matter what I confess, God will forgive and cleanse. It doesn't matter what the sin is, friend. It doesn't matter what the failure in your life might be. It doesn't matter the sin that you might have committed against a holy and a righteous God. He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse when you confess your sin. And it doesn't matter what that sin is. It doesn't matter what the failure is. He will forgive and cleanse if you'll confess it to him. That's his faithfulness and his justice. Hey, how about this? It doesn't matter how many times I confess. Have you ever been guilty of committing the same sin multiple times? Pastor, that's kind of a dumb question. I know it is. But friend, listen. When the Bible proclaims he is faithful and just, he is true to his nature and his promises. He always does what is right. He always acts in accordance with his character. Truth passing into action. The truth of his faithfulness being put into action. It doesn't matter what I confess. He'll be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And it doesn't matter how many times I confess. I might commit the same sin over and over and over and over again and confess it over and over and over again. And guess what? He will forgive me and cleanse me just as fully the first time as the 100th time. He's faithful and just. God will always respond to my confession the way that he tells me in his word that he will respond. That is his character. Now, before we move on, let's recognize that that's not a license to sin. Just because God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and that's going to be true no matter what we confess, no matter how many times we confess it, friend, it is an immature Christian who says, well, I'm just going to go ahead and sin because God will forgive me when I ask him to anyway. Friend, that's immature. And that takes very lightly the sacrifice that Jesus made for you, which the book of Hebrews, as we know because we've studied it, says is a very serious thing. So don't don't take this truth of the Word of God and say, wow, okay, so God's that genie in the lamp that I can just do whatever I want and then come and confess and he'll forgive and cleanse. He'll be faithful and just. But you better be really careful how lightly you take the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Recognize what confession is. Recognize God's character in it. Thirdly, and let's look at this more fully, recognize God's response to confession. God is faithful and just to take two actions in response to my confession. First, he forgives the sin. And we need to understand what this forgiveness is all about. Because if we're not careful, we'll have a misunderstanding of God's forgiveness in a believer's life. Because the Bible teaches me that God dealt with sin when he poured out his wrath on Jesus at Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross, all sins, past, present, and future, were dealt with in his body on the tree. This forgiveness, spoken of in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, is not about my position in Christ. My sin as a believer does not remove me from who I am and what I have in Christ. In other words, friend, when I sin against God, I don't cease to be his child. When I sin against God, I don't cease to have the righteousness of Christ. I'm still God's child. I still have the righteousness of Christ that was imputed to me at the time I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who I am and what I have in Christ is not changed when I sin against God. But listen, when I sin against God, it limits my participation in the privileges of being a child of God. Fellowship and full joy being two of those privileges. As a child of God, when I sin in word, in deed, or in thought, my fellowship is hindered. I can't experience full joy in Jesus Christ. There are other effects spoken of throughout the scripture. My prayer life is hindered. My testimony is tarnished. There are a lot of privileges of who I am in Christ that are limited when I have sin in my life. So here's the truth about forgiveness in the life of a believer. When I confess my sin, God forgives me. But this is not the forgiveness, all my sins, past, present, and future, are under the blood. That's already happened. Literally, the word here means to send away or remit. He removes the word, the deed, or thought of sin that has limited my participation in the privileges that are mine as a child of God and restores those privileges. That's what this forgiveness is all about. So here's what it looks like. I sin. In word, in deed, or in thought. I don't cease to be a child of God. I'm still his child. I don't cease to have the righteousness of Christ. I still have the righteousness of Christ. But my participation in the privileges I have as a believer are limited. My fellowship is hindered. I don't experience the full joy of life in Christ. That's why David had to pray, Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I'm limited in the participation of those privileges. So here's what happens. God speaks to my heart. He deals with that sin. And I come before the Lord and I agree with him about the sin. God, I sinned against you. I said something that was wrong. I did something that was wrong. Thought something wrong. God, I didn't say what I should have said. I didn't do what I should have done because, friend, remember, sins of omission are just as sinful as sins of commission. God, I'm asking you to forgive me. When God forgives, that sin that was already under the blood of Christ, but has now hindered my practical walk with the Lord, that sin is forgiven. And my participation in the privileges as a child of God, my ability to participate, is restored. That fellowship that was hindered is now restored. That full joy that I can have in Christ, the ability to experience that, is restored. That is the forgiveness that takes place when I confess my sin as a believer. But notice the Bible goes on. He not only forgives the sin, but notice the Bible says, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now listen, he forgives, notice, forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all righteousness. Forgiveness deals with the act of sin. Cleansing deals with the character of the sinner. When God forgives my sin, he deals with the act. When he cleanses, he deals with me. If you will, in a sense, forgiveness deals with the external, while cleansing deals with the internal. You see, here's what God wants to do. God wants to forgive the act, but he wants to cleanse the one who committed the act. He wants to deal with the heart of the issue. You see, because, friend, here's the truth. Sin, something that I say, something that I do, or something that I think that is wrong, comes out of a heart that has a wrong attitude in some way toward God, that is out of line with the character of God and the Word of God. So God not only wants to forgive the wrong word, he not only wants to forgive the wrong act or the wrong thought, but he wants to cleanse the heart, the issue within the heart that wrong deed, wrong word, or wrong thought sprung from. He wants to get in and deal with the issue. Warren Wiersbe said it this way: the righteous one who calls us into fellowship and full joy purges the unrighteousness that is contrary to his character and renders fellowship and full joy impossible. Here's what happens. When I sin against God, I can't experience the fellowship and the full joy that God wants me to experience in Jesus Christ. And friend, by the way, that is an experience like no other that you can have in your life. To experience the opportunity to fellowship with your Creator and with your Savior who gave his life for you this side of heaven, to have that experience and to experience full joy, a joy that this world cannot know or have, a joy that this world cannot experience and does not even understand, we can experience in Jesus Christ. But sin is the enemy of that fellowship. Sin is the enemy of that joy. But God's given us a way to deal with it. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a wonderful transforming truth from the Word of God. I've got to tell you, friend, I think too often we're not confessing enough. Let me encourage you to take these steps regarding confession of sins. Three steps. Number one, daily ask God to examine you and show you any unconfessed wrongs. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." I want to encourage you, daily ask God to show you, to examine you and show you if there are any unconfessed wrongs in your life, to shine the spotlight on it. Secondly, habitually ask God to forgive your sins specifically at the time they are committed or at the time you are made aware of them. In other words, don't make it a point to just trivialize, generalize, or minimize your sin. But at the very moment that that sin is committed, friend, you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. And when you do wrong, when you say wrong, when you think wrong, the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict you of that sin. Don't put it off. Make it your habit to right in that moment confess the sin and ask Him for His forgiveness. Or if there is some sin of ignorance, at the moment you're aware of it, confess it to Him. You've heard me say before that you've heard it said, keep a short account with God. I don't like that. Keep no account with God. There's no reason to just make sure the account is short. You can have no account with God. Confess your sin. And then thirdly, fervently ask God to strengthen you to choose righteousness over sin. Friend, ultimately, confession is important to our lives because we all sin. But again, our striving should be not to sin. Our striving should be not to give in to the enemy. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. So daily ask God to examine you and show you any unconfessed wrongs. Habitually ask God to forgive your sins at the time they're committed specifically. Fervently ask God to strengthen you to choose righteousness over sin. This key to keeping fellowship can be a transforming truth in your life if you apply it day by day. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? The message tonight was not specifically directed to sin outside of the confession of it. But maybe tonight God has dealt in your heart about something that needs to be confessed. If He has, in just a moment when we have an invitation, I'm going to ask you to come. Say, God, You've been dealing with my heart about this thing, and tonight You're speaking and convicting, and I'm here to confess that sin to You. Maybe tonight it's a commitment that you need to make. Lord, I've tended to trivialize, minimize, and generalize my sin. God, I'm sorry about that. Help me in the future to treat sin and look at sin as You do. Maybe tonight you need to come and just say, Lord, I just don't have the fellowship with You like I once did. I'm not experiencing full joy in Christ in my life, and I'm not sure of the reason of it. Lord, if there's an unconfessed sin in my life, would You show me? Would You point it out so I can get it confessed and dealt with tonight? If God is speaking to your heart in just a moment when we have an invitation, I'm going to ask you to come and do as the Lord is leading you to do. Heavenly Father, thank You for the truth of the Word of God. Help us to put this truth into action in our lives. For it is only as we put the truth into action that You can make the difference in us. And so I pray that if you're dealing with hearts tonight, that we would respond in obedience to You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you?